fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sonny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports.
They're playing back.
The National Basketball Association playoffs continue later Tuesday night with two second-round games in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. The Milwaukee Bucks will host the Boston Celtics. The Celtics beat the Bucks 112-90 in Milwaukee on Sunday in the opening game of the best-of-seven series. And in Oakland, California, the defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors are at home against the Houston Rockets. The Warriors beat the visiting Rockets 104-100 in the opening game of that series on Sunday. In NBA playoff action Monday night, the Denver Nuggets and the Philadelphia 76ers both scored victories. The Nuggets defeated the Portland Trail Blazers, as we hear now from the AP's Randy Stahl in Denver, Colorado.
The Nuggets take a 1-0 series lead in the second round of the Western Conference playoffs, beating the Trailblazers in a shootout 121-113. Denver's Nikola Jokic scores 15 of his team-high 37 points in the third quarter. Jamal Murray adds 23 points in the win. Murray says they executed their game plan, scoring 23 points off of 18 Portland turnovers.
Being disciplined, being detailed defensively, limiting them to one shot, getting on the break, and using the whole thing to our advantage. We did that really well, and we got out and around and got some good looks.
Trailblazer guard Damian Lillard leads all scorers with 39 points, including 24 points in the second half.
Just gave him too many opportunities, you know, 23 points off of our turnovers. That's always going to hurt you in any game, especially on the road. So we got to be much better with that. You know, I think if we limit those and at least get shots up at the rim, you know, we give ourselves a much better chance.
And his cancer scores 26 points despite playing with a shoulder injury. Randy Stahl, Denver.
Thanks, Randy. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Game 2 in the Nuggets Trailblazers series will be Wednesday night in Denver. Now let's go to Toronto, Canada, where the Philadelphia 76ers even their series with the Toronto Raptors at one game each. The AP's John Lethierby reports from Toronto.
The 76ers rode a 30-point performance from Jimmy Butler to defeat Toronto 94-89 at Scotiabank Arena, making it a best-of-five series. Butler finished as Philly's top scorer, posting a double-double, adding 11 rebounds.
I think we just did our job. Everybody wants to paint a picture that we haven't won here in however many years. I'm just glad that we came out on top.
Despite battling stomach flu and being a game-time decision, center Joel Embiid played 32 minutes and chipped in 12 points.
We all felt like we had a chance, that after a few adjustments, we could get on top, and tonight we did that, but that's all that matters.
Kawhi Leonard was the game's top scorer. He finished with 35 points for Toronto, while Pascal Siakam added 21. Game 3 is in Philadelphia on Thursday night. John Lethierby, Toronto.
Thanks, John. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In more NBA playoff news, Houston Rockets guard Chris Paul was fined $35,000 by the league for making contact with an official in Game 1 against the Golden State Warriors. The incident occurred with about 4 seconds left in Houston's 104-100 loss to Golden State on Sunday. Paul was automatically ejected from the game following his second technical foul. The NBA says the fine was for, and I quote, aggressively confronting and recklessly making contact with a game official. The Rockets complained in post-game interviews about the officiating in Game 1. Elsewhere around the NBA, San Antonio Spurs head coach Greg Popovich says he's negotiating a new deal with the team after his contract expired this season. The 70-year-old Popovich is the longest-tenured active coach in both the NBA and all major sports leagues here in the United States. Popovich has led the Spurs to all 5 of their NBA titles, as well as a winning record in each of his 22 full seasons as San Antonio's head coach. The Spurs were eliminated by the Nuggets in 7 games in the first round of this year's NBA playoffs. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
This is Dikembe Mutombo. I am from Africa. Malaria kills thousands of children every day. Don't let your child be one of them. Make sure they sleep under a treated mosquito net. Beating malaria is like winning at basketball. You need to get to the net.
This is the Voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Voice of America.
I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Now let's go to Rwanda, where the country's soccer community is appealing to the government to hold accountable Rwanda's Football Association officials in a saga that led to a fine of more than $236,000. The money was paid on April 25th to Johnny McKinstry, Rwanda's former national team head coach, who was dismissed in 2016. World Football's governing body, FIFA, ruled the 33-year-old McKinstry was owed the money for breach of contract. Ejene Uwimana has more details for us from Rwanda's capital, Kigali.
Rwandan sports analysts say they smell corruption in the hiring and firing of McKinstry. Jean Didier Bagirisha is the managing director of Radio TV 10, Rwanda's first private media house.
I am failing to understand how mature people, elected managers, can allow such a chain of mistake to happen unless they are profiting from that.
Rwanda Football Association spokesman Boni Mugabe says the association is not commenting on the McKinstry issue. He says the Ministry of Sport is well placed to comment as the principal employer of the Irish coach. The ministry was not available for comment. The McKinstry affair has gone viral on social media, especially Twitter here in Rwanda. Ingabire Marie Makire, the chairperson of Transparency International Rwanda, wrote, "The government should follow up in everywhere its money is taken." Meanwhile, Jean Didier Bagirisha says the Rwandan government must strive for the same accountability in sport as in other sectors.
I was part of the ad hoc committee that was set by FEWAFA to select the national team head coach at the time of McKinstry. It was another committee of 7 persons. I was one of them. I would like to inform you that McKinstry was not even shortlisted from the beginning. But surprisingly, he was the one appointed. But the football is for Rwandans. It's not for one person or the people who are there managing that. I think they owe us explanations. What really happened? What should be the lessons that we should take from this? Who are the people behind?
FIFA's disciplinary committee ruled on March 19th, 2019, that McKinstry was owed more than $236,000 for improper termination of his contract and other additional charges. The Rwandan government, through the Ministry of Sports and Culture, paid McKinstry the full amount on April 25th. In the latest FIFA rankings released April 4th, Rwanda is 38th in Africa and 138th overall. Football analysts here say if fund mismanagement persists, Rwanda's soccer development will stall and perhaps suffer regression. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Eugene Uwimana in Kigali, Rwanda.
Thanks, Eugene. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to African athletics, Nigeria says it has some young athletes who can win medals at the 2020 Tokyo Olympics and major international meets. One of those young athletes is 22-year-old Divine Oduduru, who recently set this year's fastest times at both 100 meters and 200 meters. Competing April 20th at the Michael Johnson Invitational Meet in Waco, Texas, Divine clocked 9.94 seconds for 100 meters and 19.76 seconds for 200 meters. Sunday Adeleye is the chairman of the Technical Committee of the Athletics Federation of Nigeria. In an interview with Iron Mike Mbonye, Sunday says he's hopeful Nigerian athletes will achieve podium performances in Tokyo in 2020.
Well, the federation has been up and doing since last year, starting from the preparation for the Commonwealth Games. That is where we started testing some of our athletes and then exposing most of our upcoming talent. So the federation has been up and doing, sending most of our athletes to attend more international competitions to get exposure, which is a major part of preparation for the Olympics come Tokyo 2020.
Is Nigeria blessed with other athletes in the class of 22-year-old Divine Oduduru, who set a new national record and returned in one of the best times this year?
Well, you know, when you have a population of over 200 million people, it would be probably terrible to say we don't have maybe thousands of Divine Oduduru. Oduduru is a blessed athlete and is one of those athletes that has was part of the program of the federation from time being before he moved to America. So we have a pool of them like that that are also springing up, and we will also do very well at this Olympic that will pull up surprises. You will agree with me where we have athletes like, for example, Ofili Favor. She's a young athlete, the African under 18 champion, and the most valuable athletes in Africa right now in the junior category. And we believe before the 2020 Olympics, she'll be up and doing and be ranked among the first three in the world also. No, she's just 17 years old.
I don't know Nigerian athlete, Chukwue Buka, and Kwechi, a Commonwealth silver medalist in shot put, has set a new record of 21.77 meters at the IAAF World Challenge in Brazil. Can we say that he's a potential medalist for Nigeria at the Doha Games or Tokyo 2020?
Well, it's a podium performance he has right now. And I will tell you again that we have about three other athletes that are also following suit. Before probably the end of this year, we have the record. We're sure that that record will be shattered at least three to four times before the end of this year. Because we have some upcoming athletes that are springing up with surprises, that are youth athletes and junior athletes that are not known to the world. And they're actually doing very well in their schools and wherever they are right now. So we are not just, it's not just a fluke. We have athletes coming up to be podium athletes at the Olympics come the Tokyo 2020.
Do you have plans to organize athletics events or meets to keep these athletes in shape?
Well, part of our strategy is plans that the more you compete, the better you become. So the best form of training is competition. That is why we have a lineup of activities set out for this athlete to compete, because we tried it before the Commonwealth Games, that we had more competitions than any federation in Nigeria. So we've agreed that we are going to do more competitions and expose more of our athletes to competitions. Some of them are even traveling out to, on their own to attend meetings internationally in the region, in Africa here. We have some athletes like Ojili. Ojili is a young athlete that has never run 45 seconds. He has been in the range of 47. And then just last week in Botswana, he ran 49.97 in Botswana. So, and a whole lot of them, about seven of them, were out there in the meeting. Joy Udo Gabriel and so on and so forth, and they are doing very well. So we've encouraged them to go out and compete. And also, the part of the policy of the new board of the Athletics Federation of Nigeria is that we have actually assigned out licenses to individuals that are interested in organizing meets in Nigeria, so that we can have more competitions around for these athletes, because we believe the more they compete, the better they become.
That's Sunday Adeleye, the chairman of the technical committee of the Athletics Federation of Nigeria. And Sunday spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Abuja, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. This evening, we continue our look back at Sunday's London Marathon. On Monday's show, we heard from Eliud Kipchoge and Bridget Koskay, who produced a Kenyan sweep of the men's and women's titles in the British capital. World record holder Eliud Kipchoge successfully defended his London crown in a course record time of 2 hours, 2 minutes, and 37 seconds. And 25-year-old Bridget Koskay became the youngest ever female winner in London, where she had a winning time of 2 hours, 18 minutes, and 20 seconds. In the men's and women's wheelchair races in London, the winners were Daniel Romanchuk of the United States and Manuela Scher of Switzerland. Daniel had a winning time of 1 hour, 33 minutes, and 28 seconds, and Manuela's winning time was 1 hour, 44 minutes, and 9 seconds. It was the second big title in less than 2 weeks for both Daniel and Manuela. They also won the men's and women's wheelchair races at the Boston Marathon on April 15th. The energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Daniel Romanchuk after his London Marathon victory. Here's Andy.
It's 24 hours since Daniel Romanchuk won his first London Marathon wheelchair title. I say first because at the age of 21, signs are if he stays healthy, there could be more in the pipeline. And he's had a tremendous, 2018 and 2019, winning Boston 2 weeks ago as well. But now he's been talking about a transition or going back to the track, and there's a series in Switzerland coming up this summer. Marcel Hoog, whom he beat to the London title, is involved. So tell us more, Daniel. What is going to comprise this track series in Switzerland?
So it is a set of track meets out in Arbon and Nottwil. And so there's some very fast tracks out there. It's a great place to get times.
I know from my experience and covering it as a reporter, wheelchair elite racing, of course, in Switzerland is high profile, not least because of Manuela Scher, also won in London, and Marcel Hoog and many others before them. Will this be your first time racing there?
No, I have. This will be I've been there a couple times before.
How difficult or easy is it to transition from you're a marathon winner and now you're going back to doing track workouts, I presume, and also track racing? Is that a big difference?
Of course, the workouts will be different. Primarily just leave it up to my coach. He knows exactly what to do, and so I just, whatever he says, and just go do it.
What sort of distances are they putting on in Switzerland on the track?
So it will be the 100 to the 5,000, I believe.
Oh, so that's really, it's sprinting. It's not, when I say not even middle distance, you know what I mean. It's not 1,500, 3,000, or...
It's 100 to the 5,000. So 1, 2, 4, 8, 15, and 5,000, I believe, are the events that will be out there.
Big difference, is it, mentally? Because you're on the start line in London and Boston and elsewhere for 26.2 miles, and then you're kind of on your marks for 100 meters. Do you find you have to switch in your mental approach?
A little bit, not too much. I'd try and get off the line as fast as possible, no matter where I am. But again, one of the things I sort of leave up to my coach. He knows the exact training that to switch over to more fast-paced, explosive movements and stuff.
We're talking about range of movements. Understand that before you came in an elite wheelchair racer, you did other sports. Well, what sports did you do? And have they helped you now when you are a professional wheelchair racer?
So I think absolutely getting a good just foundation in multiple sports, it's great for cross training. So, one sport for however long can sometimes lead to just sort of burnout and just getting very repetitive and tired of one sport. So I think that it certainly did help me get a good foundation. So I did basketball, hockey, swimming, a number of others, just to name a few.
So they're all obviously developing lung power, coordination, the arms, hands, everything. That's been a big plus for you.
I believe so, yes.
Well, Daniel Romanchuk, you've had a great, well, it's more than a year, sort of 18 months. All the best for the Swiss series. Look forward to seeing you back in London as well. Daniel Romanchuk, men's wheelchair winner in London 2019. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you, energetic Andy Edwards, for that interview with 2019 London Marathon men's wheelchair race winner Daniel Romanchuk of the United States. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
If you were to talk to us from the deepest, bitter part of the bottom of your heart... Hello, I am Shaka Sali, the host of Straight Talk Africa from The Voice of America. Each Wednesday night, I'll put you in touch with newsmakers and experts as they, you and I, talk about the most important social and political issues in Africa. Shaka Sali saying, I'll be waiting for your call Wednesday night on Straight Talk Africa from The Voice of America.
I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America!
And if our Voice of America listeners check out my Facebook page, they'll see a nice photo by my award-winning producer this evening, Bill Werkinger. Bill took a photo of young American tennis player Francis Tiafoe, who's currently at number 31 in the ATP World Rankings. And for our VOA tennis fans keeping score, that makes Francis the second highest ranked American player, behind only John Isner, who is currently ranked number 9 in the world. Serbian star Novak Djokovic remains number 1 overall. Djokovic is a very comfortable 3,395 ranking points ahead of Spain's Rafael Nadal. Alexander Zverev of Germany is number 3, followed by Swiss veteran Roger Federer and the Austrian Dominic Thiem. Now, Thiem beat Nadal on Saturday in the semifinals of the Barcelona Open, and then Thiem went on to win his first Barcelona title, topping Daniil Medvedev of Russia in the final, 6-4 and 6-love. Still with tennis news, I think it's safe to say American tennis player Sloane Stephens and American soccer player Josie Altidore are a love match. Stephens and Altidore announced their engagement on Twitter. Sloane Stephens won the 2017 U.S. Open women's singles title in New York. She's 26 years old. For his part, 29-year-old Josie Altidore has scored 41 goals in 110 international appearances for the USA. It's a love match. Congratulations to the newly engaged Sloane Stephens and Josie Altidore. Love. And that wraps up the April 30th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Jonah Cummings. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05, and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Are you suffering from heartache? No problem. We've got the cure for you. The African beat can soothe your heartache with its awesome tunes from the African continent. So join me, David Vandy, Mondays through Fridays at 0900 and 2000 Universal Time for a healing journey. I guarantee it.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Bunganyi in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. Thank you for joining us on Upfront each Wednesday, 1730 UTC, for a lively discussion on issues that are topical, challenging, and always engaging.
The show tries to capture that fundamentally aspirational nature of today's African youth. As you've noticed, right here on the show, we talk about everything. Nothing is off the table.
I am a social networker, often online. For me, it's all about making connections, meeting people.
Ooh, without my family, I don't think I would have been here today because they gave me a lot of support morally.
Dante, AU, African Union, can these people really solve this nonsense of rigging election, brutality during what election violence, all this whatever?
Employment rates are climbing, so definitely there's less jobs in the market now.
Remember to connect with us on Facebook and on Twitter at Upfront Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
The outermost layer of Earth's atmosphere, called the exosphere, is said to extend to about 10,000 kilometers above the surface. This layer of the atmosphere is mostly hydrogen. Scientists have found that when the hydrogen atoms in the exosphere scatter their protons, they produce a kind of halo effect called the geocorona, which some consider to be an extension of the atmosphere. A new study published in the Journal of Geophysical Research, Space Physics, suggests that with the geocorona, Earth's atmosphere reaches out to about 630,000 kilometers, or twice the distance to the moon. The study authors say they were able to accurately measure the extent of the geocorona by analyzing some 20-year-old data gathered by the NASA ESA Solar and Heliospheric Observatory, or SOHO. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
The Voice of America's flagship global news program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. We have hundreds of reporters gathering the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 17 UTC and 2230 UTC. We're also available online at voanews.com.
Hi, this is Lori London. Tune in to the Voice of America's newscasts every hour on the top of each hour 24/7. Listen to our news and correspondence reports around the world. VOA is your trusted source for news and information.